Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Built Bar. Head over to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you can get $10 off your first shipment of Built Bars or the Built Boost Energy Mixes. And the bars, guys, they're candy bars, basically, that are protein bars. They're protein bars that taste like candy bars. Head over to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get $10 off your first order. Now on with the show. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you, as always, on this late Monday night slash early Tuesday morning edition of the podcast. As always, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm joined by one of my co-hosts who's joining me for back-to-back episodes. I really like it. Lars Lewis is back on the show. What's up, bud?
Well, as I mentioned before, no longer on a two-month layoff.
No.
This is now becoming more frequent.
It will.
You have been warned, everybody.
No, and you will be on more often because, as we announced on Saturday, we're going to be doing an all-time Eagles Madden like league slash simulation in the next couple of weeks, where me, you, Gino, and our good buddy on the Locked On Podcast Network, Jordan Hanskin, we all draft basically like a fantasy draft, and the players available are all former and current members of the Philadelphia Eagles. And then the rosters we draft, the four teams, we're going to put those into the latest NFL Madden video game, and we're going to do some simulations and watch those games and do some live commentary. It's going to be a really, really fun thing, a project that we're starting, and we're going to get working here. I would say next week.
I've already done mocks.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm already doing my overall like ratings for each player in Madden, ranking each player. And it's tough, Lars, going through quarterbacks, all-time in Eagles history, running back, receiver, you know, defensive lineman. But I want to hold off on that conversation for next week when we really dive in to that project.
Speaking of all-time, you have a very interesting topic for tonight.
Absolutely, Lars. Great segue. What I want to get into in segments two and three. So I thought about this based on what we're going to talk about in segment one, which is Tom Brady still is not over Super Bowl 52. So Tom Brady, for those that don't know, the match, round two, basically. Last year, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, they golfed one-on-one. It was streamed on Bleacher Report. This year, they did it again, only it was two-on-two. So Tiger Woods got Peyton Manning on his team, and Tom Brady joined Phil Mickelson, and they did this two-on-two golf match over the weekend. It was a lot of fun to watch. All four guys were mic'd up with some good golf, honestly. Peyton Manning's a way better golfer than I thought, and Tom Brady, while he was brutal on the front nine, actually, you know, heated up a little bit on the back. But part of, again, the great part of this product was all four guys were mic'd up. And when all four guys were mic'd up, there was a little banter going back and forth, especially with Peyton Manning talking to Tom Brady. He made a joke about Nick Foles having to bring him in, or Eli Manning if Brady starts to come back. And Brady, and then
that kind of touched a nerve.
Yeah, it did. It definitely did. And then somebody said, oh, like Tiger Woods has the same colors as the Atlanta Falcons, so, you know, Brady could come back there. And then Brady brought up the Eagles, and a really interesting quote here. Let me play it for you.
It's the Eagles that are cringe, bro, not the Falcons.
So, Lars, I really like that because, for me, it makes it so much sweeter that to know that the greatest quarterback of all time, who has six Super Bowl rings, still gets upset about losing to the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Yeah, it would have been awesome if they won their first championship no matter what, even if it was against the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2017. But the fact that they beat the greatest dynasty to me in football history and Tom Brady can't take it is awesome. It is so cool. I nerd out about it, and it's been 3 years later.
For a guy like him, and we know Tom Brady, this is going to follow him the rest of his life.
Yeah, 100%.
Because nobody's going to talk about the Rams Super Bowl that they won because their offense did little to nothing.
I'm glad you brought that up, Lars, because that's the thing, is the way the Eagles won it, too, against the Patriots makes it so much sweeter.
They outgunned them.
Yeah, Nick Foles out-dueling a Tom Brady who threw for over 500 yards, Lars. Like, it's absolutely crazy. The Eagles put up over 40 points on that team to win the championship. They had to. That's what's so special about it. And I think that's why it bugs Brady so much, because like you said, the way they would have won that title was with Brady carrying that team, throwing over 500 yards, putting up 30-plus points, while Bill Belichick's defense couldn't stop anything that Nick Foles offered and Doug Peterson offered.
Well, let's be fair. Matt Patricia's defense could stop him. Look at the following year when Belichick kind of like took over the defensive role.
But that's the point,
then
Lars.
You saw what happened to the Rams.
Yeah, and that's the point is, like, I don't know, Brady kind of gets the credit for the offense throughout the past 20 years, and Belichick's the defense. And that's why I think, like, winning the next year against the Rams really didn't do a whole lot for Brady as, like, redemption for that Eagles loss, is because
it made Belichick look better,
because it was kind of the defense carrying Brady. We thought maybe that'd be another shootout against that high-octane Sean McVay, Jared Goff offense, but the Patriots defense shut it down. Brady really couldn't do much, and so again, I don't know if that sixth ring really means as much to him as it would have been if it was in 2017 against the Birds, which again makes the Eagles' victory so much sweeter.
It does, considering the fact that you look at the losses that Tom Brady has had as quarterback of the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, have come against some almost borderline miracles. You look at the two Super Bowl losses against the Giants, Eli Manning pulling games out of his butt, and then Nick Foles playing the game of his life. Imagine being Tom Brady, having won six Super Bowls, and all three of your losses have come against the NFC East.
Well, isn't that crazy? I mean, it's
against two quarterbacks who many people don't really consider to be all that great.
Well, that's the thing, is like, he's beaten, you know, Kurt Warner in the greatest, to me, one of the greatest offenses that, you know, the NFL has ever seen, with the greatest show on turf. He beat Donovan McNabb, who I think is a fringe Hall of Famer. He's not going to get in, but like, Donovan McNabb was one of the best quarterbacks, you know, in the league throughout the NFL's history when he was there, when he was playing, at least. Are you making five NFC championship games? He beat Matt Ryan.
DeLome.
Yeah, he beat Jake DeLome, who was, I mean, like, we laughed, like, was pretty damn good at the time. Oh, he beat an MVP, Matt Ryan. He beat Jared Goff, who was great.
Carolina defense was probably the main test that New England had to go up against in that Super Bowl. Their defense was stacked.
And he also beat, a Rams team that, with Jared Goff, as much as I criticize Goff, and I think it's warranted, like, that Rams offense was pretty damn good. So it is funny that the three losses he have is against Nick Foles and Eli Manning twice.
Yeah, I that's, as I mentioned before, those three losses are going to haunt him the rest of his life. The Philadelphia one might be the worst of all.
No, I'm with you. And again, because it's going to eat away at him, because, you know, he did everything he could in that football game. Again, the Eagles had no answer, but nonetheless, they still win Super Bowl 52 in 2017. And Lars, I thought about that roster and that team after Brady said that on Sunday, and it got me to thinking, because we're doing a lot of this historical stuff on the podcast over the past couple weeks. We've been doing the What If series, which was a lot of fun. And then next week we're starting that all-time Eagles draft. So it got me thinking, you know, thinking about that Super Bowl. What are the other best teams in Eagles history that in a game, like, who are the Eagles teams throughout the franchise's history that have a chance at beating, to me, what was virtually an impossible team, an unstoppable force, that was the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles. So me and you are going to get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, we are sponsored, as I mentioned before at the start of the show, by our good friends at Built Bar. And they have a special offer this week for our Locked On Eagles listeners. So you have $10 off of a box of Built Bars, which is a candy bar, basically a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, the awesome Built Boost energy mixes, which, by the way, four new flavors: peanut butter banana, pineapple upside down cake, coconut pecan pie, blueberry lemon. You get $10 off if you go to builtbar.com and use our promo code Locked On. However, this week, from the 25th to the 31st, you also get an additional $5 off every box of bars, specifically if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On. We thank Built Bar for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back into Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis kicking another week off of shows here during the dead period of the NFL offseason. So, Lars, we talked about Tom Brady in segment one and how he still is not over that Super Bowl 52 loss, as I think, you know, he should be. I think he should still be pretty upset about it, because again, the way he would have won it, like, that would have been his Super Bowl, and especially back to back, because the way he won the previous year, like, he led a comeback down 28 points against the Atlanta Falcons to do it back to back. Yeah, to do it back to back, where he carries the team, would have been huge for him. He doesn't get it. The 2017 Eagles win a title, and that got me thinking, because that 2017 roster, I mean, throughout the regular season and through the playoffs, they were virtually unstoppable. They were putting up points. Their defense was top 10. Carson Wentz was unstoppable in front of that elite offensive line. I mean, you need a lot of offensive firepower, I think, to beat that team. But also, I think throughout the Eagles franchise history, they've had some great defenses that have a chance at stopping them. Is there a team in the Eagles franchise history that you think has the best chance at beating the 2017 roster if they played in the game?
Yeah, I actually have a team immediately. 2001.
2001, okay. I did not expect that one.
2001 Philadelphia Eagles.
So the first NFC title team in the Andy Reid era, Donovan McNabb, year two for McNabb, year three.
The first year of the five conference title games they went to, they lost to the Rams that year in the NFC title game 29-24. That was a barn burner of a game.
Right.
I think that they mollywopped Tampa in the wild card 31-9. Then they stomped on the Bears. I mean, yeah, the Bears were shams. That was the 1 year wonder of Dick Geron at 13-3 with the Bears.
Right. Yeah.
And they played against the Rams, who I think were the best team in the NFL that year. I still think the Patriots beating them was, I still think to this day, along with the Eagles and the 07 Giants, those are among the top three biggest upsets in Super Bowl history.
Sure, I agree with that, yeah.
Now, I look at the 2001 team. Now, of course, the names aren't going to stand out, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But if you go by 2001 numbers, when you look at the quarterbacks, Donovan McNabb that season had 25 touchdowns that year, completed 58% of his passes, and he was third on the team in rushing yards.
Yeah, he was at the top of his mobility at that time. Like, he was a crazy dual threat.
This is Donovan McNabb at his peak
right, when
it comes to physical ability. And I think it's less about the offensive talent. I think this is the one defense that could give the 2017 Eagles more trouble than any of the others. They were second in the league in points against that year. Louis, they gave up 208 points in 16 games.
I know.
And they were ninth in the league in points for.
Yeah, like that's right.
They weren't slouching on offense either. In 2001, the way they would win a game against the 2017 Eagles would be a slugfest. It would be the first team to 21 that would win the game.
I like 2001. I'm also going to stick in that era with my first team, and that's 2004, obviously one of the other two teams in Eagles history to make a Super Bowl. I think, like you said with McNabb, from 2001 to 2004, he was in his prime, and they had made this would be their fourth NFC championship game in the century, which is incredible. For me, you look at that team. It had a defense that could stop the 2017 offense with Brian Dawkins, Javon Kearse, Jeremiah Trotter, Sheldon Brown. They had the corners. They had the safeties. They had the linebackers. They had the front. So Hollis Thomas, like Ike Reese was on that roster. With Jimmy Johnson as the defensive coordinator, I think they could give the 2017 offense a run for their money. And also, like, they had firepower if they were caught in a shootout. Because, Lars, I also thought, well, if the 2017 offense is, like, on their game, as they were, you know, with Carson Wentz at the helm or Nick Foles in the NFC title game or the Super Bowl, it might not matter what defense you have, clearly. I mean, they put up 41 points on Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. So what team might have the combination of a great defense, but an offense that if they get caught in a shootout can go toe-to-toe? And in 2004, like, you finally give McNabb that top weapon in the form of a Hall of Fame top-to-me five receiver of all time in Terrell Owens with one of the best dual-threat running backs the NFL has ever seen in Brian Westbrook. And really, I think a modern-day running back that maybe came into the league just a little bit too soon. I think, like, he was the Eagles' version of Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you put those two together with McNabb and that offensive line he had and Andy Reid's offense, I think 2004, they could give 2017 a run for their money. That's one of the best teams in Eagles' history.
I see you in that point, and I'll counter with this with 2001. When you look at the defense that they had with Jeremiah Trotter, with Troy Vincent, with Corey Simon, who had a huge year, that year at left defensive tackle. And you had Hollis Thomas, Hugh Douglas, as we mentioned before. You looked at that team. They forced 24 fumbles that year.
Mm-hmm.
That is almost – so that's about 1.5 fumbles a game that they were forcing. And you had Jeremiah Trotter had 115 tackles. Mike Caldwell had 101 tackles. This team was a machine. Anytime that you tried to move up the field – you would get cut off immediately.
Well, and we're kind of agreeing because we're talking about the same era. I mean, there's only a 3-year difference here. There's some differences. I guess on defense, like my corners in 2004 would be Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown. Where with you, it's Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor. So, but Simon. At the same time, yeah, you still have Brian Dawkins. Corey Simon was on the 2004 team. He was only 27, so he had 5.5 sacks that year. Javon Kearse, Derek Burgess, Jeremiah Trotter. I think both of those squads, 2001, 2004, could really, really give the 2017 roster a run for their money. Lars, I go back to 1990/1991. That's another 2-year era with Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Clyde Simmons, Seth Joyner, Eric Allen, Andre Waters on defense. 1991, the Football Outsiders say that 1991 Eagles defense is the greatest of all time. And it was that great from like 1985. Yeah, from like 85 to 95, Lars, it was an elite defense, one of the best the NFL has ever seen. And you, if you, like, I'll say specifically 1990, because in 91, Randall Cunningham got hurt, tore his ACL, missed the entire season. But if you
That's right.
put the.
I remember Jim McMahon was actually right. quarterbacking.
So, although the 1990 Eagles lost in the first round, I want to kind of combine the 90 and 91, because it's kind of the same team, but you add 1990 Randall Cunningham with the 91 defense. That team could beat the 2017 Eagles. Randall Cunningham in 1990, to me, should have won MVP, and he did get picked as the most valuable player by a lot of different platforms. And like that year, Lars, he was a video game. He was what Lamar Jackson was last year, what Patrick Mahomes was in 2018, what Carson Wentz was in 2017. He threw for over 30 touchdowns. He ran for another 5. He ran for 942 yards that year. He was unstoppable with that defense. Again, it's crazy. We talked about it last week, how they won one playoff game in that era is nuts to me. But I think, like, you talent-wise, just on paper, you have one game against the 2017 Super Bowl champion Eagles. I think that 1990/1991 Eagles roster could give them a run for their money.
I mean, it's crazy. They scored 396 points that season. They were third in the NFL in points. I think only the Bills and one other team. It might have been the 49ers. Those might have been the only two teams that had more points than the Eagles.
Yeah. Imagine that 1991 defensive line against the 2017 offensive line. That would be such a fun battle to watch. Oh, my gosh.
Minister of Defense.
Versus Lane Johnson.
And then Jerome Brown. And
yeah.
That's just crazy. I think also what's kind of an overlooked aspect is the rushing attack that the 1990 Eagles had. You had Heath Sherman. Anthony Two-Ton Tony, you had Thomas Sanders,
Keith
and
Byers.
Of course Randall Cunningham, who led the team in rushing, even though it's less of a surprise given the fact that he had 942 rushing yards that season.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Randall Cunningham in 1990 is one of the great individual seasons, not just for an Eagles quarterback, but just of any player in the franchise's history. So I think that team with what Cunningham was doing on that offense, and again, like the defense to match up against an incredible 2017 offense, I think they could, while that 1990, that entire era had a huge choking issue, while 2017, like this Eagles era, is the complete opposite. Like, they are built for the big moments in the playoffs, backs against the wall. I don't know if they would fare well in that capacity, but just thinking, like, on paper, matchup-wise, one-on-one in one game, I think they had the talent to push 2017. Like, again, it'll be so fun. Reggie White versus Lane Johnson, Jerome Brown versus Jason Kelce and Brandon Brooks, Clyde Simmons versus Jason Peters, or maybe Halapuli-Vaitai in the sense of 2017, the Super Bowl game. But if assuming it's Jason Peters at left tackle, like, that's a star-studded Hall of Fame-type matchup.
Oh, I'd say so. I'll give you a little trivia question.
Okay.
Who was the defensive coordinator for the 1990 Philadelphia Eagles?
That's a great question. Is it like a well-known person?
Yep. Oh, yes.
Oh, it was Jeff Fisher.
It was Jeff Fisher.
That's right. I completely forgot. Wow, what a big-time brain fart. Yeah. Lars, so I would say, like, we've talked about 2001, 2004, 1990/1991. I'm just saying, these two teams wouldn't have the defenses against the 2017 Eagles, but if they're caught in a shootout, the 2010 offense with Michael Vick, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy, Brent Celek, and that offensive line, or the 2013 offense with a very similar personnel with Chip Kelly's offense and Nick Foles throwing for 27 touchdowns and 2 picks. Like, if you need a team that's caught in a shootout with the 2017 Eagles. 2010 or 2013, like, I think those two teams could get it done too. Just saying. It would have to be a shootout, but because we don't want Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher going up against Carson Wentz or Nick Foles. But I think in a shootout, they could get it done.
I think that's kind of why there's a flaw there, because even if they do get into a shootout,
yeah,
are they going to win in a shootout? Is that because the New England Patriots were in a shootout with the Eagles and they still couldn't win?
Yeah, I think in that sense, 2010 more so than 2013. An MVP season for Michael Vick. I thought he should have won MVP at least, so that's why I call it that. A 30-touchdown Michael Vick that year, complete weapon. Talking about Randall Cunningham in 1990, that's what Michael Vick was in 2010. A prime DeSean Jackson, prime Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy. Again, it would have to be a shootout, but that team could put up 30 in their sleep. I mean, we saw it against the Giants and Redskins in 2010, you know, in the comeback and in the Monday Night Massacre. So those were two teams I didn't get my vote for. For me, again, I wrote down 2004, 1990. Like, those are the two for me. You talked about 2001, but don't rule out 2010. Like, if you got to put up like 35 points, I would trust them in that situation. Is there another team for you before we take a break that comes to mind?
It's very difficult because you look at a lot of the years that you could pick from. Because you have to have a certain threshold,
sure,
in terms of years when it comes to talent of players, when it comes to the development of players themselves, the systems. And you look at the Eagles, a vast majority of the success came in the Andy Reid era. And some of the years kind of get mixed up.
No,
together.
I guess that's fair, because you said 2001, I said 2004. So I guess we could also say like 2002, even 2003. When we come back, we'll give this a second thought here. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back in. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis joining you right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So, Lars, we talked about teams that had the best chance at beating the 2017 Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, the best teams in Eagles history that have a chance. We talked about, you mentioned 2001, which I thought was a really good one to start. I mentioned 2004, one of the two teams outside of 2017 that made the Super Bowl. We talked about the 1990/1991 Eagles, and then also, in a pinch, in a shootout, maybe 2010, 2013. You also had mentioned at the end of segment two that, like, it's hard because a lot of those teams were similar, right? With, like, 2001, 2004, you could also say 2002, 2003. As you had mentioned, there was so much success with Andy Reid in that era that they kind of blend in.
I think the outlier would be 2004 because they had Terrell Owens.
Right. I think that's the key difference, absolutely. But you make a great point, because I thought about this. I think the 2019 Eagles could have beat them if healthy, because to me it's almost the same core, right? It's pretty much the same defense, but on paper, you know, to start the season, you had better weapons, right? You came in with DeSean Jackson as opposed to Torrey Smith or Mike Wallace or Golden Tate. Like, DeSean Jackson, instead of one of those guys, with Nelson Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey, and you bring in Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard, which I think is just as good, if not maybe better, than Ajayi and Blunt. And then you have Dallas Goedert instead of Brent Celek and Trey Burton next to Zach Ertz. I think, like, so that's why it's hard to do this to a certain point, because there's some teams in the Doug Peterson era, the last 2 years, that if healthy, I think could give 2017 a run for the money, because it's a similar team with a little bit better weapons on paper.
And that's the key word that you said, healthy.
Right.
And
that's the problem with those two teams.
The 2019 Eagles, as we saw back in August, even during training camp, they were the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Right? How many media outlets?
Roster,
yeah.
When you looked at who was coming back, you just thought this team was going to be slated to win 12 to 14 games,
yep,
and run the table in the NFC. Problem is, as we've seen the last 2 years,
yep,
this team has seen the hospital quite often.
They've seen the big blue tent, Lars.
Oh, the quiet room is what they say.
It's so true, though, because 2019, I remember in July and August, me, you, Gino, we were talking Super Bowl. We saw, I mean, how many major media outlets, I mean, Sports Illustrated, like they do their thing every summer where all of their reporters from the NFL pick to win it all. And a bunch of them had the Eagles winning it. And if not, they were at least in the big dance and losing to, like, the Chiefs.
It's true. And I think there was some there was some underlying dread that was within the three of us reading this, like something's going to happen.
Well, yeah, because we got nightmares of the Dream Team in 2011 when that happened.
And we had a taste of what happened in 2018.
Right, and even Lars, don't forget, I remember back in 2015, there were some reporters drinking the Chip Kelly Kool-Aid. I remember Adam Schefter picked the Eagles to win it all in that summer when Bradford and Sproles, and they're kicking preseason butt, right? Against Green Bay specifically. And Adam Schefter, I think that week, picked them to win it all with Sam Bradford being the Super Bowl MVP. So I think, yeah, me, you, and Gino, we got a little scared when we saw the national media getting behind us. Lars Lewis joining me on today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Lars, thanks so much for coming on again, bud.
I had a great time, and I hope that the next time that we're on, it won't be at 12:45 in the morning.
It will not, but I'm glad that you were up for the challenge, and it was a whole lot of fun to this was a fun topic to do on today's edition of Locked On Eagles. We hope you guys enjoyed it. If you missed any of our other 4 to 6 shows a week that we do over the past couple years, make sure to subscribe on the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it, we're available on those platforms or on LockedOnEagles.com. And me, Gino, Lars, we're all talking birds and NFL on Twitter after the show at DiBiase, at LarsLewis12, and at Gino_LOE. For Lars Lewis, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go,
and
Birds.
Let's go, Birds.